Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down. Cruise, man. Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys can get in your seats, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to... I put it down the babies, put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, game time!
Welcome to another Parents Coaching Parents Show. I'm your host, M.H. Scott, and as always, I promise you another wonderful show. We got some information for you this evening, folks, that I know that you should take the time to understand and figure out whether or not you're on track for whatever's going on with you. You know, we have our guest calling in today, and our guest is going to share some information on training, you know, being a highly thorough college athlete himself at one point in time, has moved on to do bigger and better things in life, but still knows how to bring the game back to the minds of the young folks that he worked with on a regular basis. We're going to take a second or so, go to my favorite song here from Mr. Keith Wright. And after we get done with Keith, we'll come back and introduce our guest. Where you at, Keith?
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing, I'm out the plumber, out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
That's my man, Mr. Keith Wright. He said he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. You know, I like to hear that piece each and every time we have an opportunity to do a show, folks, because of the simple fact that that little piece in itself, he's making smart cool, is the value in itself of what that college experience should be all about. It's not about... you know, going out there and having an opportunity to play, that we all like to see our children involved in that portion of it. But at the same time, they got to get something out of it. They got to get something out of it. Definitely, that's an investment that we put our time into and they put their time into. So at the end of the day, they should get something out of it. And as my man, Mr. Keith Wright, says, he's making smart cool. So, like I said, we got a show for you this evening, folks. We have a guest that I've known for a couple years now, and you know, every time I had the opportunity to observe this young man, he's been putting in some work in the gym or got some kids out there, just giving them some basic understanding and some good stuff to put into the game. And I watched him one day and had an opportunity just to observe him and see exactly what he do. You know, because he's got a lot of folks out there to claim to have the knack for training our young folks. But there's a lot of folks out there that have no clue. And I hate to put it that way and put it so bluntly, but there's a lot of folks out there that have no clue of what they're doing. But That's not what we're going to talk about this evening. We're going to talk about individual training, whether or not it is from a basketball standpoint or football standpoint or whatever. You know, there's certain things that just collects all these pieces together, and if you don't put these things into it, then you'll truly miss out on the opportunity to make yourself better individually. Well, that's enough of me talking. I'm going to go ahead and bring my guests up. This evening we have Mr. Terrence Winston on, a.k.a. T-Rock, if I got that correct. You on with us,
sir? Yes, sir.
Hardest working man in the training industry. You doing all right? You had a good weekend?
Yes, I did. Thank you. Thank you. That was an excellent introduction. Whenever I'm a guest speaker, I'm going to make sure I get you to come and introduce.
Well, hey, we do what we do. We do what we do. But thank you for coming on with us this evening and taking time out of your busy schedule. We understand, you know, everybody don't have this kind of time to come out and just share, you know, just some information with us on what you do and how you do it and what was your passion behind it. First of all, just start off, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a former local athlete from Portsmouth, Virginia. Played at Wilson High School. Was blessed enough to earn a scholarship at Norfolk State University, which took me overseas for a brief career. But now, as a former coach, a former player, my niche is individual training for the young student athletes that are trying to, you know, pursue their dreams. So I've been at training officially for probably about 3 years now. One of my first clients just ended up inking with firm, DeAndre Mullen, who played at Deep Creek High School. So he's really the first kid that I started working with who's got to the point now where he's a collegiate basketball player. So first time seeing the, you know, the program pay off. The name of my program is called Better Balling Student Athlete Development. And that program offers services, not only basketball training, but academic advising as well as scouting and evaluation. In my day job or my career, I am a high school counselor. So, you know, I'm very familiar with college prep and NCAA clearinghouse information as well. So I try to offer those services and just give our kids in our area an understanding of everything that goes into that process. One of the reasons why I am a trainer, because of the politics, I would say, of high school sports, of coaching. I've turned down a lot of coaching jobs and all of that because I just want it to be pure. I don't want anybody to be involved. I don't want to play the politic game. And I'm probably one of the only trainers that's going to tell you to take your child to another trainer as well. So the kid, because it's all about the kid, so the kid can get multiple experience and different insight and various tips from different people, if they're legit, I will say that. And as a parent, you should be there, too, to see if your kid is being pushed, if your kid is being instructed, and so on. So, you know, that's basically what I'm about, what I do, my angle, my perception. So it's just kind of giving back. You know, I was a kid who kind of didn't have that kind of guidance. One, I was from a football city, Portsmouth, at the time, and I probably can name on my hand about five basketball players that I knew of that actually went to college, guys like Petey Sessoms from Crowder High School that I can think of, a guy from my neighborhood, Darren Evans, who took the JUCO route and ended up in South Alabama. So not a lot of athletes that I could remember who you know, went on to play Division I basketball and get a scholarship and even was eligible and all of that stuff. So, you know, I just feel like it's something that I owe to my community and to my youth, you know, because that's pretty much what I'm about, just being fair and honest with them.
Well, we definitely appreciate that. And like I said, you know, I see you out there putting in the work, and I know that the young men that have the opportunity, young men and women, because I believe I've seen you work with a couple young ladies a few times.
Yes.
They get the most out of it. You know, just touch on something. You briefly hit it a second ago, but just touch on something, the importance of parents being involved in this process?
Well, I mean, it's no different from when I'm in my office having a conference with a student and their parents. Parents have to be the biggest advocate for their child. I mean, there's no way around that. There's no way for me to sugarcoat that. I think the more involved, and when I say involved, I don't mean going overboard, but I do mean involved, understanding, you know, what's expected, understanding requirements. You know, you're not expected to be the expert, but you are expected to kind of have some type of idea. And I think the parent has to make the investment. And what I mean by that is that, you know, you calculate a lot of dollars that you may spend on miscellaneous things and things that's truly not needed, as opposed to putting your money into something that could pay huge dividends if you just stay persistent with it, you know, staying persistent. And not only, it's not about, you know, you're trying to make someone rich, but it's more so about you're investing in your child. And the things that your child is learning in those individual training sessions is no different from you going to the gym with it. You can be the rebounder. Oh, you worked on that with Coach Winston. Come on, let's get these 500 shots in. Let's get 500 shots going left. Let's get 100 going right. Let's get 200 backpedaling. Let's get a 50 full court. You know, just taking the drills and just building on it, you know, building on it. So I think the first step is having, you know, a parent who can support their child. And I don't mean financially, but I just mean, you know, as an advocate, as being involved, as being hands-on, but not hands-on to a fault. You know, and again, I think sometimes parents can cross that line where you're kind of holding your child back. You know, you're getting into it with the coaches and you're getting into it with everybody else. You know, and if they put the work in, the play will speak for itself. That's one thing you always have to remember. So, you know, I think just making that initial investment and investing in your child's future is no different from, you know, you putting money to a side for a college fund. You know, if your child is not an athlete or trying to pursue, you know, the dream that so many of us has chased, you know. So I think just making that investment is definitely a good first step.
You know, and that's some very good tips there. Very good tips. Parents, please take the time to take notes. If you didn't hear it, we'll probably be touching on it sometime again throughout this broadcast. But you need to take some copious notes there, folks. Don't miss out on this opportunity. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get the information out to you. Any shape, form, or fashion, we're trying to get the information out to you. We're basically letting you know what you don't know, you know, and making it short, sweet, and simple. You know, we're trying to make sure that you become your child's biggest advocate. The coach just said it a second ago, being your child, being an advocate for your child. You know, he's worked with a number of kids over the years and have different kids out there each and every week. You know, is every kid cut out to be a Division I player?
No. And I say that, I'm speaking from experience. At one point, I wasn't a Division I player. I didn't have any scholarship offers. I didn't even get a letter. So one of the reasons when I started this program, I thought about myself. I remember, you know, being better in football, but really having a true passion for basketball. But one thing I do remember and what all started it for me was really getting in the gym and just honing my skills and just working at my craft, you know. And when I say getting in the gym, I'm not talking just to go up and play 21 with your friends. I'm really talking about, you know, isolating yourself, going in there when no one is there, going in there early, going in there late at night, you know, working on your move, you know, crossing over and pulling up 50 times in a row, the same move over and over until I got it down. And it's not even really about levels. I think a lot of times, you know, especially now with the access of the media, the internet, social media sites, a lot of our kids get caught up in levels. I gotta go D1. I gotta go D2. You know, and really, what you should be pursuing is one, you know, what school is going to put me in the best position when my basketball career is over. That should be first and foremost, because you're going to be that long and you're going to be a basketball player. You know, a productive citizen is what you truly should be striving for. And then two, you know, I have the blessing of a lifetime to be able to go to school for free if I am offered a scholarship, get a free education, and do something I love to do. I mean, that's just the icing on the cake. So, you know, going back to the whole division thing, you know, I don't get into that with kids, but my best advice is go somewhere where you want it. Go somewhere that's fit, that fits your skill set. You know, if you are a small point, quick point guard like I was, it doesn't make sense to go to a school who's going to walk the ball up the court and run the shot clock down and take a shot at 5 seconds on the shot. Go somewhere where they're going to play to your strengths. If you speed and quickness and up-tempo, you need to go to a school where they're going to be pressing and running and gunning because that's your skill set. That's what you do best. You know, so I think it's more so about finding the fit. One, the educational piece, because like I said, you're going to be a productive citizen longer than you're going to be anything. And then two, you know, seeing where you fit in as an athlete. You know, seeing what the program is about, seeing your coaches, seeing their consistency, their longevity, what they've done for their previous players. You know, I think it's just as impressive as a coach who can, you know, get a kid overseas or to a professional league. I think it's impressive when that coach can, you know, put that player in position for life after basketball to be able to get a job somewhere, to be able to go into an intern somewhere. You know, so I think those things get overlooked. Because, and I was like this too, you get wrapped up in the dream. It's all about the ball, you know. So I think it's just a lot more emphasis that has to be put on things that are outside of the sport. I know I'm a basketball trainer, but just sport in general, you know, because, you know, we see the other side of the game with the injuries. You know, we see kids go to a school, they don't fit in, they transfer, they bounce around, then they back home. So, again, those life skills. You know, speaking as a counselor, those life skills are very important. You know, understanding a path, understanding I can be more than just a student athlete. I can still, at 20 years old, I can still prepare myself for a career once I figure out my passion other than basketball or other than whatever sport I'm pursuing. So, but the levels is not, I know for kids it's so important, but really as a parent, keep in your mind that you're trying to find the best fit on the court and off the court because, like I said, you're going to be a person more than you're going to be an athlete, and that's the bottom line.
Exactly, exactly. Very good advice, very good advice. Parents, again, need to be taking some very good notes here. If you want to call in to join in the conversation, you can reach us at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again. 917-889-8095. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your thoughts, your comments, your questions while we got the coach on with us this evening as he shares some of this great information with us. You know, I hear him talking about getting up a number of shots and, you know, 500 to the left, 500 to the right, 50 full court, 500, you know, 50 or whatever with your left hand, right hand, you know, getting up these large numbers of shots. Is it really and truly that necessary, Coach, or can I watch a couple videos and pick up on the game?
Well, I think watching videos is definitely a good thing. And I say that to say, as a youngster, you know, back when the VHS was the thing and not DVD and DVR and all those things, I would record games. I vividly remember being from this area of, you know, being known for my crossover in high school, Iverson, the crossover was, you know, I take pretty much all of Georgetown games to just go and break that move down. So videos are definitely good teaching points, good teaching tools, but at the end of the day, you still have to be in that gym. You got to get the muscle memory. You got to get the repetition in. You got to build your body. You have to build your conditioning, you have to build, you know, your stamina, and mentally, you got to get that push mentally too, because, you know, if you have a healthy body and you're not there mentally, that body is still going to go on you because you don't know your limit. You never know your limit until you're pushed to it, you know. So I think the instructional videos are great. I think watching all levels of play, high school, both genders, boys and girls, even on the collegiate level, as well as the NBA and the WNBA, because basketball is played, and even over in the EuroLeague, basketball is played differently. You know, it's not played the same everywhere. And the NBA is all pick and roll. Overseas, you might get pick and roll. You might get a back screen. You might get a flare over there. You might get a high-low action. College, you might get some of everything. So just understanding the different dynamics of basketball, the intricacy. So I think that the instruction videos are good, but nothing can supplement actually being in that jump and working on that craft. That's when the confidence is built. That's when the understanding is there. That's when the repetition kicks in. You know, knowing how to go left and step back and make that shot and get that shot off. So I just think you have to actually get out there and do it. And as you continue to do and you build your arsenal, you continue to go back and you study players, even players you play against. Every time I played against a guy, if he does a good move on me, I'm putting in my arsenal. I'm going to go work on that move. Or if I see somebody do a good move while I'm playing, I'm definitely going to take that. So it has to be both ways. You have to study it, and you have to go out and try it.
Okay. That again, more great advice, folks. More great advice. If you're missing this, you're missing the jewel. You know, you mentioned something a second ago when you talked about muscle memory. Break that down for us, because you got to remember, you may be talking to some parents, or there may be some parents out there scratching their head right now and trying to figure out how do their child's muscles have memory. You know, break that down for us, because there may be some parents, like I said, that may have never played a game.
The best way for me to put it is just like where you're having a layoff and you have an epiphany and you want to get yourself back in shape and you haven't been out there in a while. So that first workout you get, you feel everything that you haven't been using. Whatever muscle in your body that you haven't used, you know, you feel it after that first workout. Well, one thing about basketball, a lot of it is the feel that you have for it, as well as your timing, as well as, you know, your motions. It's just like, you know, I have a kid that hasn't worked out in about 2 or 3 weeks, and Saturday he had a workout, and the first thing he said was, good gracious, I can't believe how much I fell out of shape. Because, you know, as soon as he started doing a dribbling drill, probably about 6 minutes to the drill, his forearms locked up on him. Well, we had to take a break because, again, he wasn't, you know, used to working that muscle as strenuous as we did during the session. And, again, you know, just like your shooting form, when you're shooting, you know, it's easy. And you, as any ball player, it's easy for your stroke to get off if you're not consistently getting those shots up. One of the big differences from an NBA player and an amateur player is that an NBA player may have a game at 7 p.m. They may be getting up 500 shots that morning. Then they may come in before the game and get another 300 or 400 shots up. So you think about that. You know, you hear about Ray Allen, his routine, his whole career. He's the first one there. He has to get a certain amount of shots up. Then he goes and play the game. And then you sit and you think, like, wow, no wonder why he's the all-time three-point leader in the NBA history. Because he's put in the work to have that, you know, to earn that right. So, again, it's just about being in there, just like dunking the basketball. You know, when you're not a certain height and it's not easy for you to get up there, or even if you are, when you have a layover where you've not been doing it, you haven't been jumping, you haven't been pushing yourself, it's easy for your repetition to decrease. And what I mean by that is that you may can dunk 10 times on a drill, but if you stop doing it, I guarantee you that number will go from 10 to probably about 5 or 6 before you get tired and you can't get up like you were doing at the beginning of the drill. So, again, it's about building. It's about stamina. It's about condition. It's about pushing yourself. It's about increasing your reps. But the muscle memory is definitely a big part of it, and it's not something that you can take for granted, because if you ask any basketball player, time off, being away, how it feels when you first come back, and even when you're doing a basic aerobic Zumba or anything, when you have a layoff and you come back, you feel all those muscles, excuse me, that haven't been used and haven't been working.
Right, I can testify to that firsthand. You know, I used to be that guy that could do 10 dunks in a layup line and then turn around. I think I'm at zero right now. That's if I can even touch the rim. But I remember them days. I remember them days. I can reminisce on them days. But them days are long gone for me, but that's all right. But how many hours do you think a young person should be in the gym getting their workout on?
what I would say, I don't want to put out a specific number, but what I will say is this. I think being realistic with what the kid has going on, because every kid is different. Some kids are heavily involved into school, extracurricular activities, programs outside of school, you know, karate, dance, or whatever the case may be. I think, honestly, it's really about the balance. I think if playing the sport is a priority, it's something your kid is absolutely passionate about and something that they want to do, I think that should determine it, you know. And then what I mean by that is that you can't force a kid to be something or to do something that they're not truly, you know, passionate about, because with the passion, that's when the work ethic and the desire to be out there should kick in. So as far as time frame, as much as possible, you do want to always be cautious of burnout, because I think that's a very underestimated thing nowadays with basketball being year-round, and most sports are. I mean, you think about basketball, they play the season. They start practicing in October. They go all the way to February. If you go to the playoffs, you go into March in the States. And then after that, you're right into AAU, or you're right into Future League. Then you're right into Summer League. Then you're right into Teen Camp. Then AAU is kicking on, is going on too. And then some schools are even doing Fall League. So you think about that. That's year-round basketball, year-round basketball. So you have to find that time and that balance where your child can get in and perfect the craft. And even with AAU, and I'm sure that's something M.H. Scott will want to talk about, I think that is something that has to be examined as well, you know, because playing AAU is supposed to be your assessment, supposed to be your measurement, see where you are, how your game has progressed. I don't know if it can get you better. That's not something that I could speak with confidence to say that AAU would get you better. But I know being in that gym and getting those drills in and playing, you know, with one-on-one, two dribbles, that's all you get, and just doing game-like, simulating game-like situations, that's how you really see a kid make the leap, you know. So it's something that, you know, you got to look at. But as far as hours, I would say it really depends, but I definitely would say that being in that gym has to be a priority. It really do, because you think about practice. I'm not speaking for everybody, but most of the time practice is team-oriented. You know, it's about putting in sets. It's about putting in defensive assignments, rotations, press breakers, things of that nature. So, you know, even during the season, student athletes have to find time to still stay a par with their individual skills.
You basically just took my next question from me, because I was going to ask you what was the benefit from individual workout, but I think you kind of sort of touched on that quite a bit and highlighted some things just now that parents should already be aware of. We're going to take a little short break and step away for a minute and come right back and finish up with this great conversation with T-Rock, the individual hardest working man in the world of basketball workouts and training. And the name of his organization is, give me that name one more time, sir.
Better Balling Student Athlete Development, BBSD.
BBSD, Better Balling Student Development. Better Balling Student Athlete Development. Gotcha. We're going to step away. We're going to come right back. We'll be right back here shortly, folks.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
I think as early as possible. It seems like in this day and age, kids are thinking about it younger and younger, and colleges are actually getting out and communicating with kids as they're younger. So it seems to me, you know, at least by freshman, sophomore year, get an idea of whether you want to play in college, and if the answer to that is yes, start to figure out what your game plan is and move forward.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott, from the University of Virginia.
What is the NAIA?
The National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics is the organizing body that oversees college athletics for its member schools. Schools who are members of the NAIA are made of smaller colleges located in the United States and Canada. The NAIA was established in 1952 as an organization to establish competition between colleges. The NAIA sponsors 13 different sports and runs 23 annual championships for those sports, in both men's and women's athletics. The NAIA has different member schools than the NCAA and has different eligibility requirements as well. To make sure you are eligible to compete at an NAIA school, you need to register with the NAIA Eligibility Center at playnaia.org. Feel free to learn more at our website, athleticscholarships.net. Get recruited to play college sports today.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
All right, folks, all right, we're back. We're back, and we've been covering some good information. If you want to call in and join in on the conversation, don't be shy. You can reach us at 917-889-8095, 917-889-8095. I see a lot of you out there listening. If you want to join in on the conversation, hit option one, and that'll let me know that you want to join in on the conversation, and therefore we can get you in and get your question in. So if you're out there listening, I see you listening, so come on, talk to us. Let us know what's on your mind. Let us know how we can help you. Help us help you. That's our motto here at the Parents Coach Parents Network. Well, we've been talking to Coach T-Rock, one of the hardest-working men in basketball development, individual skill development. Got a nice little organization out there coming out of Portsmouth, Virginia, and he's been working with a number of kids over the years, folks. I'm telling you, I've watched this man work myself, and truly, 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 he's dedicated to the cause. Coach, you still with us?
Yes, I am.
All right, all right. That's a great thing. Well, you know, I want to hear a little bit about, I know you got a couple of different types of kids that you have classified, and what I mean by that, you know, the ones that just naturally have the talent and have the skills, and then you got another set. I know that you want to share some of that information with us. If you don't mind, go ahead and share it with us at this time.
Oh, I'm sorry, could you repeat that question? It kind of faded out on me. I didn't hear the end part of it.
Okay. Me and you briefly talked, in one of our previous conversations, we briefly touched on some of the young folks that you work with that naturally have that talent. And
okay.
Some that, you know, they just have to get out there and put that extra work in.
Exactly, exactly. And that's, I'm glad you brought that up because I think one of the worst things that can be done to a kid and kids in general is to generalize and just automatically assume and to compare with others. I think every situation with every player and every person is different. So what's needed for kid A may not be needed for kid B. How you motivate kid A may not be the same thing that's going to work for kid B. And it's no different, you know, when you're developing kids. I mean, yeah, you're going to push them. You're going to, you know, try to get the best out of them. But at the same time, you have to understand what you're trying to accomplish. You know, I got a kid, he's a shooter. Can he get better as a shooter? Absolutely. But are we going to really spend our training sessions just shooting? I don't think so. I think we're going to try to focus in on those skills that he's lacking in or the things that he doesn't do well or the things that he's not confident in. I think, you know, each client comes, you know, if it's an individual session, because group sessions are done as well, but each client comes with the individual training plan. There's a questionnaire that's given, and we want to know, how can I help you get better? And I think that's the bottom line. How can I help you get better? My coach said that I need to start lifting up my head when I dribble. I don't do a good job of seeing my teammates. My left hand is weak. Or when I go to the hole or the cup, I can't normally finish with my left hand when I get contact. Okay, so your left hand weak. So let's go over here to this wall, and we're going to dribble with the heavy ball for 20 seconds. We're going to go high. We're going to go low. We're going to go with two balls. We're going to go over here with the heavy ball and make 10 left-hand layups, whatever it is that we got to do to make you better. And I think a lot of times with the AAU and just games in general, you see a kid, and if a kid is out there, he looks like the best thing ever. And, you know, the first thing people want to know is, what does that kid do? How does that kid get so good? Who's that kid trainer? And not understanding that what works for that kid experience may be different. That kid may come from a basketball family. That kid could have been trained since he was three. You know, that kid could be a natural. That kid could be in an environment or a neighborhood with guys who've actually played basketball on professional levels. So I think you have to focus in on your kid. You have to look at what your kid needs, what your student-athlete needs to get better. Is it the team that they're on? Is it the coaching? Are they being developed by their coach as well? Is it a lot of competition on where your kid plays at? If your kid is going to a community center where there's no competition in the gym and they are better, or if the competition and the seriousness of the run is not good, is not helping, why be there? You know, what are you trying to accomplish? Are you just trying to run up and down the court and act silly, or are you coming in the gym with a purpose? So I think you have to take these kids. I know me speaking as a trainer, I'm taking everybody, and we're going to work on an individual basis. A lot of times I don't even allow my clients to get into groups until I've had the opportunity to train them one-on-one. And then I can have better insight on them, and I can say, hey, well, you know, I can put these three together. We're working on the same skill set, so we're going to do ball handling, or they need to work on shooting. They're the same skill level, not age level, skill level. That's what it's about with training, skill level, who can push you, who can make who better. So individual case, seeing what works for the next may not necessarily work for yours, and that's just something to remember.
Okay, I think we got a call on the line that look like you may want to join the conversation there. Area code 757-487. Area code 757-487. Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network. Hello? Well, I think there must be a little shy there, Coach. I don't know what's going on.
Call back, join in. I think the more information, the more dialogue we can have, the greater. The greater the info that
that's
we have.
Right. You know, just ask your question. Hey. I tell them like this all the time. Ain't nobody can see your face. So if you ask a question that don't sound right, okay, nobody knows who you are. So just go ahead and throw the question out there. Give us a call, 917-889. Go ahead.
Ask the question. We're not here to scrutinize anyone. We want to put out information, and I think me and M.A. Scott are in the position where we're always interested in learning new things and having different perspectives to help others.
Exactly. That's what it's all about at the end of the day, getting information out there to you and being able to support you in your endeavor and your pursuit of trying to get your kid to where he or she may want to go. Well, Coach, you talked about some great things today, and you started out telling us about your other occupation as a guidance counselor. Now, look, if you don't mind, can we touch on that piece just a little bit? I'm not going to dig too deep. I just want to know, how much support does a guidance counselor normally provide to a student-athlete, or is there a particular person in the school that's assigned to do that?
Well, yeah, I think it's a little bit of, you know, the structure of the school counseling program at each school. There are different collateral duties. There are different roles. I think with me being a former student athlete, of course, that's something that I do want to be involved in. Sometimes in the building, you have different people who are designated as the NCAA clearinghouse contact, where parents and student athletes can communicate with and kind of have a sit down and understand where their child is at, as far as, you know, being eligible for to participate in sport in college their freshman year. So various people play that role. Sometimes the coach is more hands-on. The coach is, you know, a person who reads up on it, who gets the information out to their players, and then sometimes the counselor. And a lot of it depends on the rapport that the student athlete has with the counselor. In most schools, students are assigned to a counselor by alphabet, by grade level. So, you know, they may go only to their counselor, or they may go to another counselor to get the information. I just really think that every high school who has athletics should have someone as a go-to person to kind of touch base about the NCAA. Because you got to think, a lot of student athletes who haven't been down this path, or who hasn't had anyone to kind of guide them, or anybody in their family, they're the first time, the first generation college kid, the first person in their family to get a scholarship. So it's almost like, you know, anytime you have the unknown, that brings fear, that brings anxiety, because you just don't know what to expect. And it's a lot on top of them having to be students, having to, you know, perform in the classroom, having to still perform well athletically, you know, SOL testing, SAT testing. And it's another thing that's on their plate, college visits. You're trying to make a huge decision that's going to impact and affect the rest of your life. So it's a lot going on in their mind. You know, it's not an easy thing. It's a good problem to have, but it's not an easy thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you know, along that same lines, you know, when we're talking about these young men and women, and they get to a situation where they knew they had the skills to play, but they got to their freshman year and they messed up a few of their classes. You know, it is an absolute no-go situation for them to try to retake that class, or is that something that's advisable, or is there replacement classes out there that they could possibly take? Give us some of that insight.
Yeah, well, you have to, and this is how important that being in communication with the counselor is. I think the parent should have the communication, open lines of communication with the counselor just as much as you are with the coach. And what I mean by that is you have two people playing separate roles that are very vital in your kid's life. And not even just for college prep, just staying eligible, taking the classes, and knowing what classes that your school offers that counts as core credits. So to kind of answer your question, it depends on your school system. Some school systems will allow you to retake a course. Some school systems will allow you to retake it, but you may not get a credit for retaking it. It'll show on your transcript that you retook the course, but you don't get the grade point that goes into your GPA to get it recalculated. Now, I'm not speaking for every school system, because I don't work in every school system, but everywhere varies, you know. So that's something that you have to know. Hopefully your athletic director can assist you with that, as well as your coach, as well as your counselor. And even when you're selecting your schedule, which you should do annually, you should know not only the math, science, social studies, English credits that counts in score classes. You should know what electives count. You know, what electives that I can take that still will help me with my graduation requirements, but will still help me with the NCAA clearinghouse. So you got to know your school system. You got to know the rules. And the only way you find those things out is by communication with the people in the building and the people at your child's school, athletic director, coach, guidance counselor, NCAA clearinghouse contact. With those four people, you know, you should have some type of insight if you're able to retake a course, to help your GPA, to you know, boost your credits and things of that nature. So, you know, you should have that understanding. The only way you get it is by having your lines of communication open.
You know, parents, I go right back to what we started talking about at the initial part of this here whole conversation, the importance of parents being involved, being actively involved, allowing the child to do what he or she needs to do in the classroom and on the court or on the field, and we taking care of that other side of things. We have to be our child's biggest advocate. You know, I say that all the time. We preach that all the time here on the Parents Coach, the Parents Network. The coach has said it numerous times this evening. How many more times do we really and truly need it here? You know, Coach, we're about down to about the last 10 minutes of the show here. Give us some information on how to reach out to you and contact you in the event that somebody wants to get some work out in.
Okay. I think the best form of contact for me would be by email. That email address is the same name of the company, Better, B-E-T-T-E-R, Ballin, with no G, B-A-L-L-I-N, basketball@gmail.com. Again, Better, B-E-T-T-E-R, Ballin, no G on that, Ballin, B-A-L-L-I-N, basketball@gmail.com.
And what we'll do, we'll go ahead and put that, if it's okay with you, we'll go ahead and put that up on our Facebook page as well. And
sure.
Just let them know that they can reach out to you that way as well.
Sure. And if anyone also we have, I have a Instagram and IG account, and it's the same, not the very same as the email, but it's Better Ballin', Ballin' without the G. I'm on Instagram, a few clips up there. I need to put more. I'm not more of the promotional type, but I still want to get it out there so you can have an idea of what I'm doing with our youth and my clients.
Understood. Well, give us a couple minutes of good information that you think that you need to share with our parents while we prepare to close.
I will say this. Let's touch on the academics part, because I think that has to, one, be the main thing that kind of gets the ball rolling. You can be as talented as you want to be. You can be as skillful as you want to be. But if you don't have the grades, you know, you're going to JUCO. You're going to a different route. So I think that the emphasis has to be put. But not only just place an emphasis, provide the opportunity for your student athlete, if they're not a good student, provide them with the resources so they can become a good student. Communicate with the teacher about tutoring. Talk to the coach about the study hall plan. Find outside tutoring if need be to do what you can, if it's feasible for you to help your child prepare for the next level. And then I think even going back to middle school, a lot of our students in the area are able to start taking high school credited courses. One thing you should check into is seeing if the middle school has an expungement policy, and that is if you're taking a class, you don't get a certain grade in it, you didn't perform well, let's go ahead and get that erased so we can take that over. Because if you get it erased, depending on the school system, it doesn't show in the course history, it never appears that you took the class, you take it again the following year, you should do better because you've seen the material, and instead of coming to high school, let's say you get a D. Let's say if you get a C minus, which is really by point total, it's really like getting a D. That's a 1.7, a C minus. If you have all C minuses, you don't have a 2.0. You have a 1.7. So think about getting a C minus in Spanish 1 in the 8th grade, getting a C minus in Algebra 1 in the 8th grade. You come into high school with a 1.7, you might not even be eligible your first year, depending on when your sports start. You know, so.
Wow.
Look at that. It starts in middle school. If you have a student athlete that's taking high school credited courses in middle school, make sure you know the policy that if he doesn't do well and he's not looking good by April, we're going to snatch him out, and he's going to just have to take it when he gets to high school. Because as a counselor who evaluates transcripts daily and meet with students and parents, I see see sometimes students come in with only a 2.0, a 1.5, because they didn't do as well in their high school classes in middle school. So that already puts them behind. Now think about that. We all know that it's very easy to drop the GPA as opposed to increasing the GPA. So I think we all know that from our years of high school and college as well. So think about that. That's the first thought. And then, two, again, back to the basketball part of it or the sport part of it, make sure you know where your child is at with it. I mean, I think you can push your child. You can try to motivate them. But at the end of the day, your child has to really want this because it's going to be a lot of sacrifice involved. And any athlete will tell you that, a lot of sacrifice. And what I mean by sacrifice, you know, some of your leisure time is going to have to be interrupted in order for you to get where you're trying to go to this next level. So I think that's the biggest two things, starting off, figuring out the academic piece. If we're talking about elementary kids, of course, you still should be stressing academics. And then finding the trainer and finding trainers. Again, you probably won't hear too many trainers that will tell you, you should take your child to another trainer and get them a different experience. Because for me, I mean, it's a business, but this is not a business that I'm trying to be selfish about, because the big picture is our kids have to get as much experience as they can get, as much preparation. And again, I don't proclaim to be a guru. I proclaim to be someone who has some knowledge, and I want to share what I know, what I have, and what I possess. So if trainer B can help them more than me, then you keep them with that trainer. I have no problem with that. It's not a personal thing. It's not an ego-driven thing to me. It's just like, hey, I have a service that I'm offering. Hey, if I work good for you and then you see the progress in your child, then we'll go from there. But, again, get them the experience, man. It's all about the experience. It's all about it. So those are the most important things that I want to look at and kind of just make sure that the parents are focusing in on. And, again, if you have any questions for me, you didn't get a chance to call in, email address is there. Make sure you shoot me an email. I check it from time to time, so I will be able to respond to you.
Hey, you definitely share some valuable nuggets with us this evening, and we truly appreciate that. You know, we tell parents all the time, you know, if your child's looking at going to school, you know, it's not necessarily having to jump on this AAU train like you mentioned earlier and thinking you have to ride that. You get out there, you get a good individual trainer, you get somebody that's going to work with your child, groom your child, nurture your child, put some values in your child, and also a very solid skill set in your child, and then you catch a couple of these camps and clinics. That's just as valuable as running up and down the countryside, up and down the East Coast, Listening to AAU game.
And I'm glad you said that. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm glad you said that.
Go ahead.
That goes back to what I initially started saying. You have to do what's best for your student athlete. I'm a perfect example. I play AAU. I didn't play the Boo Williams traveling team, but the AAU I played on, I don't even recall seeing coaches in the gym when we had tournaments. What did it for me was that my high school coach, Terrence Green, gave me a brochure about an exposure camp in Charlotte, North Carolina, called Prep Stars. This was summer of 97. I prepared myself when I told you I was going to the gym in the morning, in the afternoons, in the evenings, and just working out. I still was playing because I was taking what I was working on and implementing that into my pickups and my summer league games. But that camp is what did it for me, not AAU. Me going to an exposure camp, which we have a few in our area, and playing well and attacking kids and being aggressive and just showing my talents. You know, when I came back, coach said, hey, you must have did something right because the phone is ringing and letters are coming. So that was my way, you know, and that was my exposure for me. It wasn't AAU. But again, AAU could work for your child. So that's what I mean. You have to do what's best for your child and have a great assessment how things are going for your child. You know, so case by case. Everything is case by case.
Exactly. But, you know, you also touched on something that was very important earlier on, too. You know, getting that relationship with your coach, getting that relationship with the counselor, so on and so forth. But you got to remember something this parent that had that child in your sights, under your tutelage, you know, you nurturing this child for the last 16, 17, 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know that child best out of everybody else that comes in contact with that child.
Exactly.
You know, and you are going to have to be the person that's going to assist that child in making these sound decisions. You know, you may have an AAU coach that comes along and a fast-talking one, you know, like some of these guys can sell the dough out of a biscuit without breaking the crust, and I have no problem with saying that, and I tell it, you know, to their face. You know, but you have some of these guys that come along that are very quick tongue in trying to sell your child a big dream. If you know that's not what your child really and truly do, it's up to us as parents, us as individual trainers, us as folks that really care about these children to make sure that we are trying to guide them in a positive way. And we are truly the ones that have the child's best interest at heart. Well, Coach, it's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun.
Yes.
We love to have you on anytime. Anytime you've got some additional information to share with us, please feel free to join us. You know, we're on every Sunday night at this time, and we have a number of folks. I'm really and truly surprised we didn't have any callers that called in and asked any questions, but they're probably just sitting back absorbing the information, and that's just as good. That's just as good.
Yeah.
Maybe we just kept it going enough for them to really enjoy it. But
yeah.
Thank you for coming on this evening. And,
no problem.
Hey, man, we'll see you out there, and we're going to be doing some great things together.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me and giving me this platform to share my knowledge and to, you know, broaden the horizons of our parents, you know, of our young student athletes who may need some direction and understanding of this. Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Anytime, sir. Anytime. Share this with your parents. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. You have
well, folks, you. Well, we've been listening to the Parents Coach the Parents Network. We had Better Basketball on with us today and definitely had some great information from Coach T-Rock. And he just really just let you have it tonight, Parents. Just let you have it. And hopefully you got something out of it. His email address, contact information will be up on our Facebook page. Check us out at Parents Coach the Parents Network. You can also find us on Twitter at PCP. Network and on Instagram at PCP Network as well. Well, you know, I got to close out with my man Keith because Keith is always the guy that comes through for us with this nice little piece here. Keith Wright, as I say, University of Harvard grad out there playing overseas right now. I don't think he got picked up with one of the teams for workout camp, but he's out there doing this thing. Where you at, Keith?
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and the knowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get the time.